Let's talk about why they're calling COP26 the make or break climate summit, a crunch point, the big one. As far as UN conferences go, it doesn't get much bigger than this. What happens or doesn't happen really does matter to everyone everywhere.
Science told us that we are called red because the window to keep our world safe is shrinking.
Climate impacts are coming fast and furious.
COP26 is about saving the plan to save the planet. And if that plan fails,
there is no planet B. There is no planet blah. Blah, 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 blah.
So here's what you need to know about the biggest climate conference on Earth. Let's start with the basics. COP stands for the Conference of the Parties. It's the annual meeting for the almost 200 countries signed up to the UN climate treaty. This year, it's happening in the Scottish city of Glasgow. 25,000 people are expected, world leaders with all their staff, as well as NGOs, activists, private companies, all things climate, basically. These meetings have been happening for almost 30 years, and it's been a rough ride.
Negotiations seems like dancing tango, two steps forward, one step back.
We will not sign an unequitable deal.
Physically and mentally, I think it's a limit for me.
The time for talk is over.
We can fix this. We can stop this madness.
But in 2015, there was finally a breakthrough.
L'accord de Paris pour le climat est accepté.
With a legally binding international treaty known as the Paris Agreement. For the first time, almost all countries in the world agreed on a clear goal. They would limit the rise in global warming to well below 2 degrees while still aiming for 1.5 degrees compared to pre-industrial levels. And to get there, they agreed we need net zero emissions globally by the second half of this century. That's where the amount of greenhouse gases emitted is the same as the amount that we remove from our atmosphere.
The Paris Agreement set a new course where everyone needs to hold their governments into account, while it's also all hands on deck.
So in Paris, they agreed on the objectives, which was hard enough. But how do we actually achieve them? Well, it was decided that individual countries should come up with their own climate action plans, what are called nationally determined contributions, NDCs for short. They might include anything from switching to electric vehicles to boosting renewable energy sources and protecting forests.
These pledges were determined by countries themselves based on what they felt was a fair and reasonable contribution to the global effort.
The problem is that taken together, that first round of national pledges falls way short. By 2030, they would lead to a cut in global emissions of less than 1% compared with 2010 levels, nowhere near what's needed to keep us on track for 1.5 degrees. What's needed, according to the world's top climate scientists, is more than a 7% cut every year from now until 2030. To put that into perspective, last year when the world locked down because of COVID-19, global emissions dropped by just over 6%. So imagine, we need to do that and more every single year until the end of the decade.
Unless there are immediate, rapid, and large-scale reductions in greenhouse gas emissions, we will be unable to limit global heating to 1.5 degrees Celsius, and the consequences will be catastrophic.
Now, luckily, the Paris Agreement also says that every 5 years, countries have to come back with more ambitious pledges. It's back to those NDCs again. And unless they really are ambitious enough this year, it'll probably be too late. This round of NDCs is really the last chance to keep the 1.5 degree target in reach. And that's what makes COP26 so important.
It is the first test of the strength of the Paris Agreement on climate change. And it's going to be a real test of credibility for all countries to come up with credible actions to limit global warming. and meet the collective objective.
That means everyone's got to get in on the act, especially the biggest emitters.
President Biden announced a new pledge for the U.S. to cut its greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030 and to reach zero emissions by 2050.
The U.S. has already made a more ambitious pledge. But there's still a question mark about China, the world's biggest emitter. It has made some big announcements, like promising to reach net zero emissions by 2060 and no longer funding coal projects abroad. But it doesn't look like President Xi Jinping is even going to Glasgow. And when it comes to hitting that 2030 deadline to stay on track for 1.5 degrees, the world just can't do it without China.
All eyes are in particular on China to come with an enhanced pledge in the 2030.
So the new NDCs, who's pledging what, and who can be persuaded to pledge more, that's all going to be a big issue in Glasgow. But another big issue is money, or the lack of it. Back in 2009, developed countries promised $100 billion a year by 2020 to help developing nations fight climate change. But that deadline's now been and gone, and they're still $20 billion short.
It's not charity, it's really about solidarity and cooperation to find solutions together.
Developing countries need that finance, not just to reduce emissions, but to adapt to this climate crisis.
And that issue of adaptation, that's another big item on the Save the Planet wish list that all those COP delegates need to get through. It means things like improving early warning systems for storms and floods. Also on the list, how to create a global carbon market that actually works. How to protect the environment so that nature can do its part in absorbing more carbon. How to reduce methane, another greenhouse gas. And how to completely phase out coal. Here's the thing. This is also the first COP where the science is unequivocal. Hanging over all those leaders in Glasgow is a recent landmark report from the world's top climate scientists setting out the disasters in store for us if we don't act now. Just look at the last few months to get a sense of where things are going.
Apocalyptic scenes.
Severe storms across Germany have unleashed some of the worst floodings in decades.
You know, in the past, devastating extreme weather events usually were experienced in developing countries. It hit rich nations this year. We saw what happened in northwest of Americas. We saw what happened in Europe.
What we see is a momentum where a lot of countries are feeling under pressure. Provide the right signals that they're taking this warning seriously.
We know that COPs play this role of an accelerator. They can't do everything, but we couldn't do without them.
However hard COP negotiations are, in some ways they're also the easy part. Making sure that countries actually deliver on the pledges and the plans is an even bigger challenge. But the stakes are way too high to have our leaders cop out now. If there's another story or topic you want to get your head around, let us know. In the meantime, check out our recent episode on Space Junk and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss us next week.